B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
So, in this hour, the 7 o'clock hour, and you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, or rather, broadcasting from our homebound studios. Through the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. This is Farzetta and Trey in the morning in our homebound studios, as I mentioned. Coming up in this hour, we will have a little play-by-play, Jamie, of what we'll call, I guess, the quarantine classic. Bob, do you, I'm sure you'll be fine. Bob, do you have a putting green in your house?
No, I didn't grow up that way. When we had the putt stuff, we had to go outside and like make something. So,
yeah, oh, that looks great, Jamie.
It was a whopping $30 on Amazon, Bob. My privileged life.
But you went with the
prime though. It was overnight. Bang.
Oh yeah, it was here quick.
What's the par? What's the par on your course, Jamie? I assume one.
Yeah, one. Yeah.
Okay, Trey, do you have a putting green?
No.
Sam, do you by chance have a putting green at your house?
No, I do not. Okay, I don't even know if I've ever used one, ever.
Oh, come on. It's great fun. It's great fun. Later this hour, we will have our quarantine classic, and we will have Jamie as our first participant. And Trey, you and I, we can do some play-by-play. We can do some color analysts right there. Bob will have you as our man in the field right there to maybe interview Jamie in the par for the course at par
nice.
One. That's a par one. And we'll make sure we give the good people of Philadelphia play-by-play again. How about that? You ain't going to get that anywhere else, folks. But in this hour, I want to start it off with a little Eagles news. Because, Trey, Javon Hargrave did his first media session with the assembled Philadelphia media on conference call. And the thing that jumped out to me was, well, he did the normal, right? Trey, he's like, I'm going to be playing with Fletcher Cox. I'm going to be playing with Malik Jackson. This is great. Oh, my God. It was great to play with those guys. We got some dogs on the line, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he also talked about the scheme. What's so special about this scheme? Because he said defensive linemen dream of playing in a scheme like this. That's what Javon Hargrave had to say. So what do you make of all of his comments, one about his teammates and two about the scheme?
Well, because it's a 4-3 front, you can go ahead and get after it. You know, when you're looking at a 3-4, when he's played nose guard, he's being taught the 2-gap. So that means that you're going to have to take on that one guy. You're going to have to play both gaps. So you're usually your job as a nose guard is to keep the offensive lineman from getting up to the linebackers. You're supposed to hold on to the offensive line. You fight. You're taking on double teams. You're doing all of that just so that your linebackers can come in and make the play. So I guess for him, it's more of all right, I can play that 3-1 technique. Let's go in. If it's a pass rush situation, you're just going ahead and getting after the quarterback. Whoop the man in front of you and go and get to the quarterback. It's not a situation where you have to sit up there and wait and see what the situation is going to be.
So it's almost more of a relief leaving the famed Pittsburgh 3-4 to come here to play that 4-3.
Yeah, especially as a nose guard, man, because, I mean, the key to a 3-4 defense is that nose guard, man, because he controls that line of scrimmage. He takes care of the center, and he's usually taking a beating, you know, because it's always going to be a double team. You're always going to get the center getting a hit on you. There's going to be a guard coming up there to take care of you as well. So you're battling every play. So now you have a little bit more freedom if you're going to be in there playing that 3-1 technique, where you could possibly now, the responsibilities can still be there for you to have to hold up that offensive lineman before he could just take off to the linebacker. But you still, it's not as much of a fight as if you were at nose guard.
Okay, so how do you make that adjustment, though, going from what the zero technique to the one technique? Is that something that a lot of players, like you talked about going from left tackle to right tackle, is writing with your left hand versus writing with your right hand. How difficult is it on a smaller scale when you go from a zero to a one?
Oh, it's done nothing. I mean, because this is all stuff that he's done already at Pittsburgh, because there were times where they switched out of that 3-4 where they got out of base and they went to a 4-man front. So, I mean, this is not something that'll be foreign to him. Of course, like he said, he's going to have to change his stance up a little bit, just because as a nose guard, you're going to be a little bit more balanced. You're not going to be in that super staggered stance where it's more of a sprinter stance to take off and go. But, this is going to be a minor adjustment when it comes to the actual technique part of it, but it's not going to be like switching sides as offensive linemen.
Okay, so you have these three dogs, right, in the middle mm-hmm. of the defensive line. And look, we've mentioned the number three, And the number three is where the Eagles were ranked last year in terms of run defense. You've talked about getting after the quarterback more to force more mistakes. You have these three guys, Jackson, Cox, and now Hargrave, in the middle of that defensive line, with Brandon Graham coming off maybe the second best year he's had as a pro. And then you also have Derek Barnett that we're still waiting to see what he blossoms into. So how good can this defensive line be with all three those three marquee names in the middle and a guy like Brandon Graham on the edge?
It'd be awesome if you go get Ngakoue, right, Trey?
Oh, yeah, it'd be really awesome. You bring in another rusher, you know, someone that you can have in there. But I think that, you know, you do have a talented interior front. You're going to need these ends to come on. You know, you need BG to come on. Let's get after it. Barnett, come on.
He's got to live up to the hype, man. I mean, he's been disappointing. He's been disappointing for where he's been drafted. So you need more from him this year. You absolutely do.
Mm. Yeah, he just has to continue to learn how to rush, how to set up your moves, how to bait guys. You can't always do the same rush to same for everybody. You need to start studying. All right, is this offensive tackle a 45 setter? Then you need to change up your stance depending on what kind of rush you want to give them. Already have a plan in your mind, especially when it's 3rd and 10, when you know they're going to be passing.
No, Jamie, you already started our Yannick conversation now on Twitch. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry, Mark. I can't think about. I mean,
it's not happening.
It's not happening.
It's not happening. What do you mean? Jamie, it's not happening.
Jamie, you're still willing to give up a one?
Yeah, I mean, I'd much prefer it to be the 2021 pick. But okay. until he is traded, it's not happening.
Okay. All right.
So there's still hope. And
I would give up the 2021. I would give up the 2021. I wouldn't give up this year's draft.
If you walked away from this offseason with Darius Slay, Hargrave, Yannick Ngakoue, and let's just say Henry Ruggs, I my head might explode.
The Henry Ruggs.
Nobody say the words dream team, and we'll be fine. But that
what did you just do?
I said none of them. None of
DT?
Them.
DT? Do we call DT?
No, no, no.
What do we?
As long as they don't utter those words, it's fine.
Okay.
So go get Yannick, and I'll explode.
Oh, all right. I'll be excited if they give up next year's number one. If they give up next year's first round pick, because they ain't gonna be that good anyway.
Yeah, I understand giving up this year's pick. You're essentially giving up a wide receiver. So I get why people don't want to do that. But next year's. See ya.
See, Jamie, here's what Ngakoue does. So the trade just got me excited for what we have, and now you got me thinking about what might be.
Yeah.
It's like you're...
What Trey just said, I wanted to add some steroids to that, and Ngakoue is the steroids.
It's like your Dick Pound, my friend. It's like your Dick Pound himself. Speaking of Dick Pound, there's... Now, the story there with the IOC, the International Olympic Committee... the story there is that Dick Pound, a member of that IOC,
he was trending last night.
He was trending last night, and you know how can he not be? Well, first off, we'll get to his full name in a second, but he has come out with an interesting little tidbit about postponing the Olympics, basically saying it's happening. However, as much as the name Dick Pound just gives you authority right out of the gate, so like you introduce yourself as Dick Pound, guess what? People are following you. All right. But he apparently doesn't have the authority to postpone the Olympics. Canada's backed out. Jamie, you mentioned Australia. A couple other countries, of course. The USA, 70% of the athletes voted no-go on this year's Olympics to push it to down the line.
Yeah, so, I've heard stories of like swimmers, you know, trying to keep up with their training and stuff have gone to like your local YMCA before those all closed down. And we're getting their laps in there. So it's not just... the exposure while over there, it's also their training has been affected, and you can't have that.
All right, so we're going to get into that in a minute. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. And then Trey and Jamie. Now, I don't know, Bob, do you know the show that they've been watching on the old, I think it's, is it Netflix?
Yes, Netflix.
Okay.
Which show is it?
Tiger
it's
King?
An amazing show.
Tiger
King.
All right. I haven't seen a lick of it. I've only heard Trey and Jamie mention it.
Until you do, Mark, you're formerly known as Mark Exotica.
Yes.
Is it like Trailer Park Boys?
You are definitely.
Oh, is that where that guy comes from? Is that where that guy comes from?
Yes.
Because Chris Long, I believe all of our favorite human being ever, Chris Long, former Eagle, two-time Super Bowl champion.
Made a great tweet the other day about the four famous people during the lockdown.
I mean, really, that's the final four of quarantine, is it not?
Yes.
Like, those are like that's that right there in the apocalypse. Those are the final four as far as I'm concerned. So we'll talk about those guys coming up. We'll also talk about the show itself because I know everybody is looking for that great show to binge. I don't know anything about this show, but I know after I heard you two gentlemen talk about it yesterday morning. Last night I saw a lot of people start tweeting about it. It was posted all over the place. And also, don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, in this hour, the Quarantine Classic with our first participant.
And also, Bob's going to be very happy later this week with something on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Larry. New Larry Bird documentary.
It's called Short Shorts.
Short Shorts, High Socks.
Is it about his former life?
And a guy who mows his own lawn.
Season 3, Jamie? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
I know what it is. Okay. All right. We'll get to that in a second. We also got a great quote from our friend Ruin today. We'll get to that in a little bit. 610-632-0975. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, a Netflix review with Jamie and Trey. Time at the Fanatic is 712. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, if you want a greener lawn, weed-free lawn as well, how about one that's safer for your family and for your pets? Well, that's why I choose Natural Lawn of America. Natural Lawn of America, my lawn care company of choice. They use safer, organic-based lawn care products that reduce the amount of chemicals used on your lawn. This creates a safer lawn for you, your family, and your pets to enjoy. With Natural Lawn, you won't have to sacrifice beauty for safety either. For over 30 years, Natural Lawn has been providing homeowners with greener grass and fewer weeds using their exclusive organic-based lawn care programs. This is not a one-size-fits-all type of service. Oh, no. Customized treatments for your lawn's specific needs. Wet, dry, sunny, or shady, whether you live in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, Natural Lawns programs will deliver the lush green lawn that you've always wanted. And right now, you have a special offer waiting for you, Philadelphia Fanatic fans. That's right. Listeners to the Fanatic, you get a special offer right now. Schedule Natural Lawns full-service program. Every year. That's free seeding every year. Call Natural Lawn today and tell Mark Farzetta sent you. Call 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, so what the heck is Tiger King? I'm so late to this party. I heard yous two talking about it, Trey and Jamie. And then last night I'm going around the social media world and I'm seeing more people post about it. Trey, let me start with you. How many episodes is this? How many seasons is this? Or is it not a documentary? What is it exactly, Trey?
I'm not sure how many.
It's a docu-series.
Docu,
so it's real?
I think that's what.
Oh, it's definitely real. And of course, it has some
very real
scenarios in Florida that are involved in this. It's an interesting story, of course.
So it's freaky a little bit.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten too deep in it. But
how many episodes are you in right now, Jamie?
I'm only two in.
Yeah, I'm about three or four. I mean, you know, it's crazy, man. These cats, they have these little farms, these home farms where they
exotic zoos.
Yeah, they keep these big cats, you know, and it's interesting, man. These people, you know, they make CDs. It's like a whole nother world. It's like the one dude, what's his name? Joe Exotica, who is Mark Exotica.
Joey Exotica.
Yeah, he's a singer. you know,
is that the guy that looks like? Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Yeah. He walks around with a six shooter on his hip. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see. And then you have, I don't want to tell the series, though, but it's quite interesting. You should check it out.
Just the premise, though, is what, people that
it's
own tigers?
It's kind of like, it's basically Joe Dirt that own exotic zoos. So this one guy is the largest tiger breeder in North America, but it's right. kind of illegal because they're being grown for the zoo, not for life as a wild free tiger. So it's very strange, and people pay crazy amounts of money to go basically get their pictures with these tigers. And, you know, it basically follows around these two exotic zoo owners, Joey Exotica, I believe is his name, and this other guy named Doc from Myrtle Beach. I'm pretty sure Doc in Myrtle Beach has tried to maybe try that tantra sex with some of his tigers. That's just the impression I get. I don't know that. But these guys are out. Don't you think that guy?
What kind of person do you have to be to get that kind of reaction from you, Jane, that that's what you're receiving?
I have a question.
Like, what the hell?
What's up, Sam?
I watched the trailer of it, and it's kind of, like, goofy, and I couldn't tell if it was, like, serious or not. Does it kind of have, like, a Trailer Park Boys set up? Like, it's, like, making fun of that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's like Joe Dirt, Trailer Park. I don't think the documentary's goal was to make fun of them. I think it's just, they're kind of just that crazy that it just happens.
One of them are in prison right now.
Like,
for trying to carry out a hit.
Oh, really?
I don't think I would like this, but I think Dion would like it.
Okay. So, Trey, what were you saying?
Like, one of them are in jail right now because he was trying to murder for hire. Trying to kill one of them, man. It's an interesting story, man. Yeah. You should check it out. Check it out. You know, it's weird.
Well, the one guy was the largest drug dealer in the state of Florida. He said he was basically selling exotic animals to keep his drug habit because it was so expensive. Or the drug habit was maintaining his tiger purchasing because the tigers are so expensive. It's wild. It's absolutely wild.
The reason I bring this up is because why isn't Josh Harris just selling a couple of tigers to pay employees? That's what I want to know. Let's get to the bottom of this, people. Yeah. That sounds like
somebody
really...
get Joey Exotica and Josh Harris on a conference call.
Get them in the same room, okay? Zoom.
Yeah.
Did you see where one of his workers lost an arm and just took it on the chin? Just like, oh yeah, that's all right. I'll show up to work the next day.
She was back 2 days later.
Yeah, lost her arm.
That was wild. Another guy's missing legs. You got to watch the show. It's wild. Yeah,
sold. No, guys, sold.
Not just one, both.
I was on the fence about watching it just because I saw everyone tweeting about it, saw you guys talking about it, heard you guys talking about it. But Trey, you kind of sold me on the he lost his arm and took it on the chin. That's a show. What?
She lost her arm. Yes,
she lost an arm.
She.
Yes, I mean to the elbow.
Yes,
to a tiger.
Yeah.
Yes, the tiger took that. Yes. That now belongs to me now.
Well, I saw this thing. I want to say it was like a CBS Sunday morning type show. And Jamie, I know you're all about the CBS Sunday morning. I can't remember which one it was, but it was these people somewhere in the Midwest. It wasn't Florida, so Trey, you're cool. But it was somewhere in the Midwest where people were raising these tiger cubs. They had them as cubs. They raised them into full blown adult like tigers, and they took. They took a kid outside, and they were kind of just, like, waving and playing with the tiger as they would, like, every day. And then the tiger, like, literally attacked. It was a kid, like a teenager, like a 17-year-old. And they were fine, which is why I bring it up. But they were raising these tigers from the time they were cubs and thought that they were their own, like, friendly pets. They weren't raising them for the zoo. They weren't raising them for anything like that. They were raising them as pets. Like, I think if you have a snake, that's weird, all right? But, like, having a tiger in your backyard in, like, a what looked like a chicken coop, how that thing was holding a tiger, I don't know. But this apparently is not that, like, it's not as uncommon as it should be.
Come on, man.
Like, yeah, as much as this goes on.
But you know when you watch Scarface and you saw the Siberian tigers in there, you're like, oh, that's pretty baller right there. That's pretty baller. He has tigers in the backyard just hanging out.
I really try to be as close. I try to live my life, Trey, and you know me well by now. Like, I try to live my life as close to Tony Montana as possible. You know that. I am all about the Tony Montana lifestyle. That's how I do my thing. So that's a show you guys suggest for the good people on Netflix and all that.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Now, on that same note, Jamie, the real reason I bring this up is because you found a bracket on phillyvoice.com of different shows on the Netflixes, the Hulus, the Amazon Prime Videos, and the HBO Goes of the world. And to describe this bracket to you, it's just like an NCAA tournament type bracket. And I got to say, after looking over all these, it's not even close for me. I'm a Netflix guy. I started to watch Hulu. I watched some Amazon Prime, and there's some good shows on there. But through and through, when you're talking about still having The Office and still having, like, on another range of the spectrum here, still having, like, American Horror Story on there for the time being and all these other shows, like, I'm a Netflix guy through and through. Where do you fall in, Jamie?
I think Netflix has the crown. To wear, but HBO Go certainly makes a pretty strong case. I mean, some of the shows they have are pretty phenomenal. But yeah, I mean, for Hulu, I think you have to watch Handmaid's Tale for that to even have a chance, because, you know, that's their bread and butter right now. Prime Video is nice, but, you know, it's got like Mr. Robot, which is great, and some other stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's only between Netflix and HBO Go for me, and I'd probably go slightly on Netflix.
Well, Bob, this is a show that you mentioned the other day when Trey and I were talking about the greatest written show in the history of television, Golden Girls. You mentioned the show Cheers, which a lot of people consider the best, like one of the best shows ever, if not the best show ever. Only an 8 seed in the Netflix bracket.
Wow.
I know that must be shocking news to you.
Yeah, that's tough. That's very, very tough. That's a number 1 seed anywhere. Anywhere, any place, any time.
And Parks and Rec, also on Netflix, which is where I binned it. And that was a show that actually Jamie recommended to me. And then I found the second greatest television character in the history of television, which is Ron Swanson.
Yeah, he's up there.
Parks and Rec, only a 7 seed in this one. But yeah, looking at all these other shows here on Netflix and looking at Prime Video and Hulu and HBO Go, I'm a Netflix guy through and through. What surprised me was that HBO Go... Did I miss it? There's no Game of Thrones on there.
I don't know if that's not up on the HBO Gap or the app right now. So maybe that's the reason. I'm not positive. But yeah, that would be a major oversight if that was left off.
I know I've said this before, and Trey, I don't want to hot take people. And I know you only watched the last season of Game of Thrones. Uh-huh. But there has never been a show that more quickly, I guess, became irrelevant to me than Game of Thrones with the way they handled their last season.
Yeah, once it's over, it's like, all right, who's going back through Game of Thrones?
Like
after watching that ending.
Yeah, exactly. Like, these are shows that I, like, depended on for entertainment, and just like that, you know, years in the waiting, and it was like, yeah, okay, I'll never watch this again. I know some people have gone back and started it over and just not watched the final season.
I'm kind of jealous
of those
people. That's a great show. Just because of the length of it during this social distancing and quarantine period, I mean, that's a great one to just binge on.
Catch up on the rest of it?
Yeah, I mean, like, if I had never seen it again, I wouldn't rewatch it. But if I had never seen it, that would be an awesome one to just binge on.
I actually started it right before it ended. And because everybody was so disappointed in the ending, I was like, nah, not worth continuing.
Okay. All right, but yeah. All right, well, I don't blame you, Sam. I'm steering clear of it. I'll never go back. Zero interest in it. So when I didn't see it on there, I was a little surprised. But yeah,
the one on the HBO Go app that is sneaky great, if you've never seen it, is Veep. If you haven't watched Veep, I think it's one of the funniest shows of the last 10 years. Like, it is hilarious. That's a 14 seed.
It's a 14 seed.
Yeah, it's up against the Sopranos in the first round, so, you know, it's probably not going to survive. But, man, if they had a better matchup, they'd make a run.
it's a great one. No, the missus, she absolutely loves Veep. And I've watched a couple episodes.
This cast is so funny.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
The girl from, my girl, who, like, you didn't see
Zoe
for 20
Deschanel?
Years. No. The new girl. My girl. Yeah. But no, she's really good in it from the couple episodes that I've actually seen. But no, I'm surprised that got such a low seat, I guess, or high seat, excuse me. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975.
Coming up, Game of Thrones is in there, Mark.
It isn't. Where is it?
It's a sneaky 15 seed. It's up against a 2 seed of girls. So this bracket just lost me having girls as a 2 seed.
Oh wait, I'm seeing High Castle. Oh no, that's Prime.
Yeah,
I'm looking for the 15 seed. I don't see it. That's weird.
Yeah, so it's on there. 15 seed is outrageous.
I still don't see it. That's bonkers to me. Anyway, moving on. it just ninja'd my brain a little bit. But so what we were leading the show with today is something that we're still trying to wrap our heads around. And Bob, I know just from hanging out with you at the Wells Fargo Center at a Sixers game, you're like the mayor of what I'll call the underground Wells Fargo. Like, you know the people. I mean, covering the team as long as you did, being a writer for as long as you were, right? I've been around you. You got free sushi, man. You got hooked up with free sushi. That's how connected you are. I'll never forget taking part in a nice takoyaki roll, thanks to the great Bob Cooney. But walking around there, you know a lot of the people, not just the work for the building. Those people that work for the building are still getting taken care of. I give a lot of credit to the Flyers there. I give a lot of credit to the Sixers for that, for the ushers, for the stadium workers and themselves. But I still can't make any sense of the amount of people that physically work for the Sixers organization that are taking up to a $20,000 pay cut if you're making over 50 grand. That's the story that leaked last night from Mark Stein of the New York Daily or the New York Times. Other people have picked up since. Adrian Wojnarowski put it out there. Locally, Keith Pompey has written about it. The Sixers released a statement explaining their side of the story. But basically, to sum it up, it's like they're still doing charitable work in the community, and they're not laying people off. That's the bright side. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. It's never that bright a side when people are like, well, the good news is there's a good news, bad news situation. Bad news, pay cut. Good news, you're not fired. Cool, thanks. Like, yeah. It's never that bright a side whenever those are the two sides there. But Sixers saying they're going to take care of people in the community still. But when it comes to their own employees, they're talking about pay cuts. I believe Elton Brand, Dave Heck, Scott O'Neill, they're taking pay cuts as well, supposedly. But these other people that it's not really a choice, this is what they're doing. They're cutting work weeks from 5 days to 4 days. And if you're making over 50 grand, it's as much as a 20% paycheck. I don't know how these brilliant business minds came up with this strategy. The optic, like, you just look at it from a PR standpoint, it's a nightmare. You look at it from a business standpoint, and you would think these guys that have been so successful in business are going paycheck to paycheck, basically, like the average Joe is. When you're talking about this team, they played their last game less than 2 weeks ago, and you're already at a point where you're cutting pay. Like, that seems to me to be rather abrupt, and it also seems to be just shocking for guys that have been so good at business throughout their careers to come to this point this quickly. I can't wrap my head around it.
No, it's hard too. And you, as you said, Mark, you're talking about millionaires and billionaires, and they're going to the people, say video guys or guys that help run the website or whatever it may be. You're going to go to those guys that are making, you know, probably around the money range that you're talking about, and you're going to take 20% of their salary in a huge business organization like this, an NBA franchise, and you're talking about taking money out of guys' pockets who make 50, 60, 70 grand a year? It just makes no sense to me. And if times are that tough, that's the money that you're getting? You know what I mean? Like, if you need money that badly, that's like penny to the dollar. I mean, that's, you know, no offense to the guys that are making that money, but when you're an organization like that, scalping that money is really going to help you?
Evidently. Go ahead, Trey.
Real quick, I was just looking up something real quick, and it was just because it's kind of hard to see what all teams are losing what. But there's a story that was out on, I don't know what newspaper this is, but whatever. It was saying just Golden State, for example. They were giving some of these teams out west losing $3.5 million per game. That's not being played. So that's $3.5 million per game. That's with the Golden State Warriors right now, even with how much they suck this season, they are losing $3.5 million per game. Then you go to the San Francisco Giants. They were losing $2.4 million per game. The Sharks are losing $1.6 million per game. You know, when you're losing that much money per game, it makes you feel like, all right, what do we need to do? I know what they're doing right now. To me, it seems like what they're taking is what the profits that they made right now, they're trying to stretch that out to kind of keep everybody on the long haul just to kind of keep the cover cost. $3.5 million per game that is being lost.
Yeah, I also want to say, all right, tell me what's being tell me what was being gained or what gets gained over a 41-game home season. What gets gained? TV revenue, everything else that is all encompassing. That's $3.5 million a game. You know, with this TV deal that they have, with everything else that that NBA teams have going on, show me what you make, too. I mean, I just think this is it's such a little thing. And Trey, you're right. I mean, I'm not arguing with that at all. You're right that there's money being lost. When you make that much money, there's millions of dollars to be lost also. But this is how you try to supplement some of it by tapping in the people who make 50, 60, 70 grand a year? I don't know. It doesn't sit right with me.
According to Mark Stein of the New York Times, the Sixers and Devils considered this a temporary. They considered a temporary measure aimed at avoiding layoffs. So, again, the bright side is supposed to be, hey, the good news is you're not fired. And this is according to a person. Mark Stein is saying this is according to a person that have not reduced any health or they have not reduced any health or 401k benefits for the team's employees. So that's good as well.
But yeah.
The overall optics of somebody who, and everybody Googled it last night, that's supposedly worth $3.8 billion and owns three separate sports franchises, including the Devils, along with the Sixers, and the EPL team, the Crystal Palace, I believe. Yeah. Jamie, that's your department?
That is the Crystal City Palace.
I remember there was a story a year ago of them trying to sell the organization. I don't think they have done that, but it's a horrible look. The guys like this taking the pay cut. And it's not the guys that did it maybe voluntarily. And, Bob, do you happen to know if Elton Brand is on that list? I know his name was mentioned. Do you know if he is opting to take that pay cut?
I don't know. I don't know whether he is or not. I know it was optional to coaches and assistant coaches. I don't know if the ownership group or Elton, as far as I'm concerned, Elton is on the basketball side of things. The Josh Harris's, the Scott O'Neill's and all, they are on the management side. So I don't know if there's a line there of who can opt to do it and who wants to do it or is forced to do it, however you want to phrase it.
Well, according to Stein, so just going by his report, he is saying, per a source, Jake Reynolds, the president of the Devils, Elton Brand, as well as Chris Heck, Harris Blitzer, as well as Scott O'Neill, have agreed to participate in the program. That's what's reported. That's what's reported. Okay. I don't know if it's true or not. If it is, then if those guys take a little bit of a pay cut, if that 20% maybe of a pay cut, if that helps save a couple of other jobs, it still doesn't look all that great because the bottom line is you're talking about billionaires making people around 50 grand, maybe a little bit more than 50 grand take a big paycheck out of their salary. It's disappointing, and you would think that people that are so good at business would find a better way to remedy that. Now, you mentioned maybe doing something else to maybe help their own employees. Well, our friend Ruin today did tweet us a pretty good suggestion here. I mentioned maybe you do an auction, an online auction to raise some money. You auction off some paraphernalia, some autographs, whatever it might be. And that obviously would take place digitally. But Ruin today tells us on Twitter, why not just have some of the process guys like Robert Covington, Dario Saric, save a couple of, you know, sign a couple of things. And, you know, the process people would go nuts over that, right? That would earn some money.
That would
make the cash flow come back, baby. Trade to the tune of $3.5 million. I know people that would pay that for a Robert Covington autographed jersey.
Now imagine this, too, now. You auction this stuff off. And, you know, you just had a situation where you had some of the players or whatever, some of the staff come up positive with coronavirus. You auction some of this stuff off and then somebody comes up positive. Imagine the legal backlash from that. Mm-hmm. Especially when there was just something that came out that said that I posted that story on Slack that they found that the coronavirus had survived up to 17 days on a cruise ship after everybody had left.
That. Yeah.
So this is such a bad situation. It's sticky, but it's a tough situation, but it's just where the team is.
Yeah, I think another way they could generate some revenue is just sell a couple more second-round picks off.
Well, there you go.
And there you go.
Then things are looking
you a
up.
Month or two right there.
The things are looking up. And the other unfortunate thing here, Bob, and you referenced it, I mean, it's not that long that the Sixers have been enjoying some type of success, at least being a playoff team. I mean, we're talking about, what, 2-3 years now? 3 years?
Yeah,
not including this one. So there was a lot of employees that really stayed loyal to all this, even through tough times, even people that work in the ticket office, for instance, people that really, you know, dedicated themselves to advancing this franchise, and now they're being asked to pay what could be a hefty price, especially if you're talking about those people that are making just over the $50,000 mark. It's extremely unfortunate. It goes without saying. 610-632-0975. When we come back, we got two things going on. One, there's apparently somebody missing, and this person has become the face of quarantine for a lot of people. People look to this guy to really help him out and trying to understand everything that's going on and translate what some politicians are saying into
Joey Exotica.
Fact.
Not him?
No, not yet. We'll get back to him a little bit later in the broadcast.
I think a nation is looking to Joey Exotica right now.
Yeah, absolutely. We turn our lowly eyes to Joey Exotica, I believe.
Well, he's in jail.
Oh, well, he's easy to find then. What the heck? Come on. So we got that going on. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have our first installment when we come back of the Quarantine Classic. We'll go out to the golf course in Jamie Lynch's third floor row home, and we'll take in a little Quarantine Classic. Bob, do you remember the par? What's par for the course there?
How many holes is he playing?
Well, there's three holes on the mat. So I usually take three balls, three holes, and I try to go 3 for 3. That's the game.
Okay, so par is 3.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll try to break it down. We're gonna go outside and into the fine atmosphere, and we're gonna go ahead and have a little Quarantine Classic here. Our inaugural Quarantine Classic, so people can feel as if they're outside while they're listening to us outside in the wilderness. 610-632-0975. And then Dick Pound has spoken, ladies and gentlemen. Time of the Fanatic, 744.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, everybody. Trey, you excited? We're about to have a little play-by-play.
Very excited.
Bobby, you excited? A little play-by-play here?
Beyond excited.
Ladies and gentlemen, we need something relaxing, something to take the edge off when it comes to the tough times that we're all going through right now. To answer somebody's question on Twitch, yes, we are all doing this show from our own rooms. I'm in my basement, as I described it many times yesterday. It literally looks like the scene in any movie where somebody's kidnapped and they're doing the video from the kidnapped person's in a place, you know, where he's being held. That's where it looks like I am right
now. This is Marco from Tripoya.
I'm actually wearing
Jamie, are you from Tripoya. I'm in the basement.
What's that, Bobby?
Yeah, I didn't really get that far today. I am very much barefooted.
I can't walk around the house barefoot ever.
In case you've never met Jamie, Lynch, he hates shoes.
I don't know. Jamie hates shoes?
I hate socks. They're awful.
Jamie's like socks. Agador.
Socks are the worst.
He's like Agador from Birdcage, if you've seen that movie. I don't wear shoes because I fall down. Trey looks like he's broadcasting from the Hall of Fame, the Football Hall of Fame in Canton, which is actually closed, with your wall of balls, my friend.
Well, this is the Trey Thomas Hall of Fame right here.
That's right.
Ooh.
So, that's
in Medford, New Jersey.
Yeah, all of my accolades and stuff.
And Bob, are you in your kitchen?
I am in my kitchen today, yes.
Nice. Very nice.
I actually
nice.
Have sausage and home fries cooking on the stove, so if that becomes bothersome to anybody, let me know.
Who's sponsoring your breakfast, Bob?
That would be Bob Evans.
Bob. Very nice.
Down on the farm. Yeah.
All right. Are we ready to—now, Trey, do you miss golf? Have you golfed recently?
With my knee the way it is right now? Ooh. No, I have not.
This will be just up your alley then, my friend, because— Go ahead, Dylan. Let's hit it. Let's step outside right now for the inaugural Quarantine Classic. Ooh. Listen to that. Does that sound nice, Trey? Look at that. Is it going to be outside?
He's going outside. No shoes.
Outside?
You know, with the toes spread out, it give him more balance.
That's very nice, yes. Maybe
he
should be
balance. We know how Jamie falls on.
Yeah, exactly.
Jamie, if you fall,
turf, Jamie.
If you fall right now.
I'm about to have a backstroke here.
Here we go. He's just now. It's at three balls. Three balls lined up, Trey, on the green. This is
too hard. Too much pepper.
That was a practice round. That's fine. Trey, it appears, just watching some of the practice here, it's an uphill lie.
Yes.
Here in the Quarantine Classic. Jamie going for number two here in the attempt.
That one came back. You can tell that the greens are like glass right now. They're running kind of fast.
Yeah, well, it's been dry lately, Trey, so moisture on them.
People can watch this on Twitch right now, and Jamie's bare feet. Par on this hole is one. Par is one, Trey.
Yeah, par is one. And I don't think he's made any yet.
He is 0 for 3.
0 for 3.
No, I haven't.
Being that this is
the warm-up round, I was told.
Yeah, there was a very fancy putting green with three holes on it, Trey. What advice would you give the young golfer as he goes into the Quarantine Classic today?
I don't know. I mean, right now he seems like he already knows exactly what he's looking for with going with no shoes. Toes are spread out for balance. Mm. And, you know, so there you go. Here's the ball coming right at you right there. Let's see.
Boom.
Oh, there we go. Thank you to our audience who came out today to the Quarantine Classic in Jamie's third floor row home with the putting green set up. Here's attempt number two at the hole.
Absolutely beautiful.
Ah! That one appears to have rimmed out. I apologize.
Is he reading the greens properly, Trey?
It went in the same hole.
It does seem like he's reading it pretty good. I mean, you know, but it did rim out. Dick Pound would not approve.
This world needs a golfer that's named Dick Pound. Okay, sorry. Let me go back to my golf
needs
list.
Needs everything that's named Dick Pound.
Boom! All right. Jamie
Mustard on that made that one, but
is it possible to angle? Is it possible? Can Jamie hear? Jamie, can you hear me? Just want to make sure you have. Okay, there we go. Yeah, angle that.
There we go. Yes.
Oh, that appears. That looks like a sand trap in the back there.
There is a bunker there.
Okay.
Yes,
it is.
This is official now, Jamie. Let's make it official right now. This will be your first real attempts here.
Okay. All right.
Now you have three holes you're going to be going after here on your one putting green.
Yes.
So call your shot. Go ahead and call your shot.
Which one are you going for? Huh? Oh, too much mustard, and it's going down the stairs now.
Just like
look out, Addy. That one's Bootsy's. Yeah, look out, Skylar. Balls are coming down the stairs.
Bootsy's the dunk. Okay, so we're 0 for 1 so far here at the Quarantine Classic. It is a beautiful day outside there today.
In the bunker.
Once again, par is 1.
I am terrible.
Yeah, par is 1 for this Quarantine Classic. Jamie.
Oh, yeah.
That looked good. Boom. Did you get it?
Nice.
Did you get it? He got it.
Yes.
It's in the hole.
Yeah.
In the hole.
Okay, so
one for three
at the Quarantine Classic. Jamie, thank you so much for participating. Trey, how do you feel he did in the Quarantine Classic?
I feel like I've let my family down.
All you want to do is get one in the hole. I mean, you know.
I don't think he made the cut. And now the baby's crying. Now the baby's upset. Wait, is it your kid or my kid?
Yeah, Bootsy's crying.
Oh, Bootsy's crying.
That's my kid.
Yeah,
whose kid is crying? He probably woke her up.
I just saw Lothuts upstairs. I ran up at the break to use the facilities here at my own home, and Lothuts upstairs. She's playing in her ball pit.
Big question today.
Uh huh.
Nice.
Did regular Toots? Did she spike your coffee this morning again?
You know what, Bob? I'm glad you mentioned that. She put creamer in my coffee, and it's a caramel. Vanilla creamer, and I don't ever put creamer in my coffee, and it tasted like alcohol. So no, I hate to invite. I regret to inform people that my coffee was not spiked yesterday, and I'm rather upset about it. So,
well, there's always today.
I'll see what she can bring down anything in the 9 o'clock hour that might make me forget about the sorrows and the hardships of the world right now. But speaking of which, there is somebody that a lot of people have found a lot of comfort in, and that's Dr. Fauci. Where in the hell is Dr. Fauci? Do we know where he went? I saw him face palming behind the president.
I love Dr. Fauci.
Then he came out with something said on Science. Science Magazine interviewed him, and he was like, well, I can't tackle the president and take him away from the microphone. And I was like, what the hell? Dr. Fauci coming out and swinging. And then all of a sudden, the man disappears, and no one's seen him.
Do you know how old he is?
I don't.
Take a guess if you don't. Take a guess.
170.
What's that?
170.
He's 79 years old.
That was close.
Damn!
Yeah, like the guy 79. Was great for 79.
I look older than Dr. Fauci. How the hell is that? That's not fair. But he's 79 years old?
Yeah, I looked it up the other day just out of curiosity because of all the hours he's putting in and all the interviews he's doing. Yeah, 79 years old. I was shocked.
Here's what I saw trending yesterday. I saw Josh Harris trending yesterday. Then I saw Joe Exotica. What's his name? Joe Exotica. What's his name? Joe Dirt. What's that fella's name?
From Tiger
Exotic. Joey Exotica.
Joe Exotic. Okay.
I've been told, yeah, we've been throwing an A on it like he's a porn star. No, he's a tiger breeder. Just Joe Exotic.
Totally legit.
I personally think Exotica sounds better.
Okay. Maybe he does both. Maybe he's a porn star with some tigers.
Where do you think he got the money to get those tigers?
Series. You got to watch the series. He does, he dabbles in some stuff that, is kind of,
That guy. And then where's Dr. Fauci was the other thing that was actually trending. And do we know what happened to him? Because I was looking. Do we know what happened? Jamie, do you know what happened to Dr. Fauci?
I think
I don't. I just assume that he's busy.
Here's hoping.
I thought his job was like updating us on the virus and all that. No?
Well, I mean, he's a man that basically solved the AIDS epidemic. So I would imagine you want his brain in the lab working. So let's hope he's churning away here and coming up with something.
I hope so, too. I was just a little worried. I didn't see an announcement. I just saw the question being asked, where was he?
And nobody
was
answering. Where is Dr. Fauci?
Yeah, he's our... I mean, really, of all the characters that have come out during this pandemic, he's the most beloved, right? He's the guy that is going to have his own cult following after all this?
Him and Cuomo. Absolutely. Up in New York, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Cuomo, man. He's, I know New York's got a lot of attention, and rightfully so. I saw a video yesterday of somebody in Chicago. Did you guys see this? I don't know if I didn't see it on any news outlets, but somebody sent it to me, and it's a reliable source. They were videoing trucks and cars, military cars, like on a train heading into the city of Chicago. Like they were that's what I'm assuming that people said that that's where they were going, but it was like, it looked like National Guard was being deployed. That's what it looked like. I don't know if it was, but it just looked like people in Chicago needed to take it very, very, we're about to take it very, very serious if they're not ready to do that already. And it was just wild to see that amount of force go into one little area. It's still a major city, obviously, but it's like the amount of people that are being asked to stay home. It's like one in every five Americans right now is being asked to stay the heck home to prevent this from spreading any further than it is. And it's a wild thing. And I said it yesterday, and I couldn't mean it more. It feels like you are in the middle of some kind of science fiction movie. Like, that's what it feels like right now. And I know a lot of people are scared, a lot of people worried. And look, there's a pandemic going on. I have never in my life been told that I can't, like, go out for anything other than sustaining life, whether it comes to grocery shopping or going to a hardware store or something like that. It's the weirdest time ever in my life. I'm not going to the point of scared. I'm not going to the point of panic. But it is the weirdest time nothing compares to this right now. Even going back to the only other thing we can compare it to in the sports world, which is where sports stopped, was 9/11. And even then, I remember having the feeling of never knowing what was going to happen next. It didn't last for the last 2 weeks like this. It didn't last for the last maybe 3 weeks as we go into that. And there's no end in sight. Whenever I see people like Mark Cuban, for instance, as we referenced it earlier, talking about how this is something that could be, a return date over under of May 1st for the NBA. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, okay, hopefully. You talk about it for the NHL? Yeah, okay, hopefully. You talk about the Olympics, and we'll get to that a little bit later. July 24th is when that's supposed to get underway, and now members of the International Olympic Committee are saying, yeah, not so sure about that, and it's being reported that they are, in fact, going to be postponed. It's not official yet, but that's what the major prediction is by most people, and I believe it was United States athletes, 70% of them saying, you know what, we're not going to be doing the Olympics. Let's postpone this at least until next year. But when I think about it, it's just the weirdest time I have ever been living through. And Trey, I know that there's really nothing, I think, any generation, like you talk about the greatest generation in World War II. Trey, that might be the only comparable thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my wife and I were just talking about, this is something that we have never experienced. Like you said, 9/11 was the closest thing, because I remember, you know, being over there at the NovaCare complex, you would always see planes, you know, flying in the sky. But then now, once 9/11 hit, the skies were clear. You didn't see a plane for a while. So this has kind of had that same type of feel, where it's like there's just this uncertainty about what's going on and when it's going to end.
Mm-hmm. I feel like talking to some older generation, and I saw this last night, actually. Scott Van Pelt aired this. Speaking of that older generation, do you guys see this? People at a nursing home were playing a live version for those that want something else to help handle the downtime, or maybe distract them from what's going on, or at least be a different outlet. People at a nursing home were playing Hungry Hungry Hippos while in their wheelchairs. Mm-hmm. And with broomsticks and baskets, and they dropped a bunch of balls in the middle of the room, and the people that occupied the elderly home, if you will, were actually playing Hungry Hungry Hippos with the baskets, trying to get as many balls as they could on their side. And it's like, like, think about, like, we're some people are bitching about, like, I don't know what show to watch next on Netflix, and these people who maybe never have watched Netflix are like, you know what, we're going to make the best of this as much as we possibly can. Literally playing Hungry Hungry Hippos, a human-sized version of it, while in their nursing home. It's a pretty cool thing to see people making the most of that situation.
Yeah, one of the best things I saw for perspective was, 20, 13-year-old kids and a couple of adults were stuck in a cave, don't forget, for 60 days. We can survive this. Drinking, you know, remember the kids rescued from the caves like a year ago?
Yeah.
It was?
Yeah.
Yeah, like they survived for 60 days or whatever it was. Perspective, we should be able to hunker down and watch TV and have food to eat and be okay.
Yeah, we had the comparison last week. Like, our grandparents were asked to go to war. You know, we're being asked to Netflix and chill, essentially. And I think that's a perspective a lot of people need to have, myself included. And you have to remind yourself of, during the times of, oh my God, I haven't been out of my house, you know, in 5 days. I haven't left my house. 6 days, I haven't left my house. It's crazy. 610-632-0975.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.